You are listening to Boston Public Radio. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Now, I'm about to state the obvious here, but we use a lot of words. There's a professor of clinical psychiatry out in the University of California, San Francisco. She's run the numbers. She comes up with women using an average of about 20,000 words a day, men using about 7,000. Heck, I've just blown through about 50 words right now, and this segment hasn't even gotten started yet. All this to say that it might seem like a fool's errand to try to boil down the essence of an entire year into just one word or into a handful of words, but you know what? It's a fun exercise, so we're going to do it right now. We're going to undertake it. Hopefully, we're going to have your help, and you can give us your word of the year, and we're certainly going to have the help of our friend, Peter Sokolowski. He is the editor-at-large for Merriam-Webster's Words, including data about what the words are that people are using, is his stock in trade, and he's joining us now from the studios of New England Public Radio out there in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Peter, how you doing?
It's great to be with you, Edgar. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here on Boston Public Radio again. So, Peter, Merriam-Webster's, you guys, words is all that you do, and every year you kind of do a words of the year list, and tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of how you guys come up with that, why you do it.
Sure. We have our dictionary online. It's Merriam-Webster.com, and it's free. It's a free dictionary. Anybody can use it. And I think the great thing about having a dictionary online is that the data really flows two ways. Not only can anyone look up any word, but now we know which words are being looked up and when. And the further question of why, it requires some interpretation. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. But the bottom line is we have a quantitative measure of what people are curious about in terms of vocabulary at any given moment of the day or month or year. And so when you add all the words that are looked up, the page views, in other words, of the website add up to about 1.2 billion per year.
So that's a billion with a B?
Billion with a B. Wow. So a lot of curiosity. And that's we're very happy about that, by the way, because it helps pay for our website and our salaries. But that is our business, of course. And the business model works and to the extent that the dictionary is available for anyone to use. And then, again, for us now to report on the data at the end of the year, kind of step back and look at which words were looked up and when. And that does tell us a certain kind of story about the year, the past year, and the words that were used and researched during that year. And I will give one little kind of an explanation as to how we come to this list, and that is that there are certain words that are looked up that have nothing to do with the news or current events. There are words that are looked up because English is a hard language. Yeah. And so words like affect and effect, for example, or real, what you might call SAT words, like ubiquitous and paradigm, we see that those are looked up day in, day out at the same rate. What we're looking for are words that jump up on a given day, jump up, for example, year on year, and show a huge increase. If these words were stocks, they would be words that you wish you owned during the past year.
The apple of words, yeah. Right? So how far back does your data stretch? You say you're sort of looking, you can look year over year, and that's one of the measures mm-hmm. by which you're saying, okay, this word is in a different place than it has been in the past. It's been right. spiking more than it has been in the past. How far back does this two-way data that you're talking about or this two-way relationship go?
Well, the online dictionary went up in 1996, and we've been doing this kind of word of the year for 10 years. This is the 10th year that we've been doing it. I can go back 5 or 10 years. I don't think I can go back to the very first one, not too easily at any rate. But it's easy for me to check year on year or the last 2 years, and often I'll do that. And for example, with one of the words that spiked, and we'll get to that, one of the words that showed the greatest spike of a single word for a single day, when we looked back and compared it to that same day of the previous year, the percent change was something like 30,000.
30,000%.
percent. So an enormous jump, as you might guess. So I do compare year-on-year data from time to time, but mostly what's interesting is really to compare the list to itself. That is to say, to what, relatively speaking, what other words are being looked up today.
Mm. All right, so that's really interesting stuff. So we're talking with Peter Sokolowski. He's the editor-at-large at Merriam-Webster's, and he's one of the guys who's always looking at the data on their website as well to understand what words people are looking up. Right now, we're going to get into some of the words of the year, but before we do with Peter, I want to throw this out to you. If you are in the car listening, if you are at work on your lunch break and you're listening in, think about it for a second. See if you can boil down the year into a word for you. What would your word that defines 2012 be? Give us a call. Share that with us. Here's our number. It's 877-301- 877-301-8970. That's 877-301-8970. What is the if you could define 2012 in a word, what is it for you? And we'll get Peter's take on that. But Peter, why don't you take us through the list that Merriam-Webster's has come up with as the words of the year for 2012. I know you have a 10-word list. Why don't we start with number 10 if we can and see if we can work our way through this whole list.
Sure. Basically, I grouped these words a little bit together, but the bottom of the list is the word globalization. And this is a word that was researched not only because of the presidential election, and in particular after a series of television commercials about Jeep manufacturing in China were released by the Romney campaign, when the word globalization really became part of the national conversation for a few weeks. But also, this was, of course, not just an election year, it was a recession year. And so we're talking about business generally and employment generally, and of course, what the new world economy really truly means. So globalization was a word that we saw have a huge increase over the last couple of years. And so that was one that we decided that had to be a part of this list this year.
So this is one of those words that, as you were saying, so some words you think people look up for usage, you know, for a practical term. Other time, for practical reasons. Other words, maybe people looking to get a more specific definition of. This would be one of those that you think people are looking for definition.
Absolutely. And that's a really, really good point, because the fact is we're good at reading data. We're not always good at reading minds, you know, and so there are some words that are very clearly being looked up for spelling, for example. And there are some words that are very clear. A word like camaraderie, for example, is what we notice it's often looked up, and it's often looked up with its most common variant. And so because those two words trend together, we can see that people are just spelling the word and they're comparing the spellings. The words affect and effect, as I mentioned earlier, are looked up clearly for reasons of usage. They're not difficult words to spell, but they're tough to use in the proper place. Another word that's looked up very frequently every single day of the year is the word love. And I'm pretty sure that's not being looked up for spelling.
That's really nice. Love. That's actually, that's kind of heartwarming.
Yes, it is. It's usually in the top 25 or 30 words of any given day. It is great, but I think that's really being looked up for philosophy, for some other reason, you know, and so people are contemplating something and it leads them to the dictionary. We're not always sure what leads them. In the case of globalization and words that sound technical like that, medical terms like, for example,
like
when Michael Jackson
died.
Yeah, right. Cauterize is a great example. The description of the body when Michael Jackson died was what he was very, very very thin, so the word was emaciated, and that word became the second most looked up word of the year of 2009. That's how interested people were in that word, because it sounds technical. It was used in a technical way. So if we were to move on, the next word is professionalism, and again, this is a term that is in a recession year, a word that is probably being checked for spelling for a lot of resumes, among other things.
Very interesting. So you can sort of you get a sense of, you know, what was going on in the year by sort of making that leap and saying, like, you know what, a lot of people are looking for work, and that's one of the things that really defines 2012, you know?
Sure. Now, it's in a category of words that we see every year, a word like integrity, for example, or pragmatic, which was the most looked up word last year, and it is still one of the most looked up words in our dictionary. These are qualities that people are simply researching. Either they want to see them in others, they want to see them in themselves, they want to see a definition. In the case of professionalism, though, I it's my personal belief that people are checking the spelling as well. You don't want to misspell a word like that on your cover letter.
Yeah, that's the bad kind of irony, right?
It happens, unfortunately.
Yeah, all right. So I'm just going to interrupt you for a second there, Peter. Sorry, but I want to mention the phone number again, 877-301-8970. If you could sort of define 2012 in a word, what would that word be for you? And we're going to take a call right now. This is Tom in Peterborough. Tom, how you doing? Welcome to Boston Public Radio.
Hi, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I guess my word that I would use to summarize the year, and it depends on the inflection you put on it, and you actually just used it, I think, about a minute and a half ago when you were reacting to the word love, but I would say is really as a word. I just feel like really, depending on the inflection you put on it, you can apply it in so many different ways, and it just feels like it summarizes the entire 2012 in terms of everything that happened.
Yeah. All right. I like it. So that's Tom saying, really. What's your take on that, Peter?
Really?
Nicely done, sir.
Ben, and I think it makes me think of that use, the John Stewart use. In other words, the arch irony of taking a statement at its face and then acknowledging a problem with its logic, and that has become I kind of agree with you that in the sort of spirit of today, the way that we understand information, the way that we learn things, and the way that we comment on them, because we're kind of in a phase of media now where we learn and comment almost simultaneously, and so that irony is that question: do you really mean that? That's a great way that a lot of people do express themselves. In just that way. And especially, I do think of, I think there's a segment on Saturday Night Live's news cast as well that is called Simply Really.
That's right, where they just kind of punchline it with, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And it works. And in a sense, that kind of efficiency is exactly what Tom is getting at.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. It's a great choice for your word of 2012. If you have a word of 2012, you can give us a call, 877-301-8970. I just want to mention over on our Facebook page, and if you haven't joined us on Facebook, you definitely should. You could just find us at facebook.com/Boston Public Radio. But we've had a couple of mentions here. We have we had a caller, Peter, who mentioned that the word tragic is his word of the year. And on Facebook, Helen said her word is horrific. Both of these folks referring to what just happened in Aurora. Earlier in the year,
in
Connecticut. So, Peter, I wonder did you see words spiking around this awful tragedy that happened in Connecticut?
What's interesting is that 9/11 was an enormous vocabulary event, and sometimes you see that kind of interest. We saw huge interest on Friday itself, on the day itself, and the word. That was looked up the most was unfathomable. And I think that's kind of, that sort of tells us a little bit about what the initial reaction was. And another of the words that was looked up was kind of poignant for me because it was also one of the words that was looked up after 9/11. And this is the word surreal. And I'd like to read the definition of surreal just to give you a sense of how this is used in this particular way. Our definition of surreal is marked by the intense irrational reality of a dream. And that is very poignant in the context of this kind of conversation. And then several days later, and you do see a pattern of words that are looked up in the moment and then in after some reflection, you do see the word assault rifle currently being looked up, and it's spiked in the last several days. And it people keep coming back to that. And again, what's interesting about that, and we'll see this in other words of the year, it really is about definitions in the case of reform laws. You're talking about ultimately setting a definition about what something is or isn't. And so I think a lot of people are looking this up for a real, what you might call a lexical reason, to see what is an assault rifle, what is considered to be an assault rifle.
I'm talking with Peter Sokolowski. He is the editor-at-large at Merriam-Webster. We're looking back over the year 2012 and sort of defining it in a handful of words, something that Merriam-Webster does every year with the help of a lot of data and some analysis on Peter's part. Peter, take us through a couple more words on the list, if you could.
Well, continuing on that line of the notion of definition being ultimately a part of the political discussion, the word marriage was again a part of the political discussion this year, and it was looked up in enormous numbers. Traffic year on year up 60% over the previous year. And you saw in February of this past year the ruling to strike down the California ban on gay marriage. And then in May, you had President Obama's announcement of his ultimate support for gay marriage. So you had enormous news stories. But then there was another piece to those news stories. If you think back to the Chick-fil-A story, the boycotting or the support of the owners of Chick-fil-A for anti-gay marriage proposals, and then ultimately the boycotting of Chick-fil-A stores and the news stories that came from that, that brought up another word that's in our top 10 list, which is bigot. And so what we see is, in a kind of a sad pattern, the word marriage and the word bigot tracked together during this year. As one was looked up, so was the other.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
And we see that in other ways. For example, as I've mentioned, affect and effect are looked up often together. We see words like hurricane and tornado that are paired. In other words, you're looking at them and comparing them. What are the wind speeds? What are the geographical qualities of these particular events? And so we do see words that occur in pairs. In this case, it's a poignant one, maybe a sad one. But you know what? It's always encouraging to me when people get back to the dictionary for the definition. They're coming back to basics.
Yeah. really to sort of, you know, people trying to express themselves with language and understand, you know, how to use it. And that's, yeah, I think you're right. That's ultimately kind of an inspiring thing. Let's turn to the callers again. Sarah in Medford, welcome to Boston Public Radio. What's your word of the year?
Thank you so much. My word is hope.
Hope.
Great.
How come?
Well, I'm somewhat of an optimist. I work in mental health and therapy. And I will say, looking at, you know, everything that's happened through the eyes of somebody who is an optimist and a therapist, I think it's something that we've all been really required to hang on to through some really trying times. You know, each year presents difficulties, but, you know, whether it was a political time or a giant tragedy or a natural disaster, I think we can all relate to that word and say that it's possibly something that has gotten us through.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. From a self-proclaimed optimist, Sarah, thanks for calling here on Boston Public Radio.
Thank you. The world needs optimists for sure. And, you know, just because part of the job of a lexicographer, somebody who writes dictionaries, is to break words down into their component parts. I never really thought much about the definition of hope, but let me read it really briefly for you. Desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. Isn't that a great definition?
That is a good definition.
Yep, desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. And sometimes, you know, with these dictionary definitions, as we mentioned for love, sometimes just reading, going back to basics, reading the definition, some other way of saying, you know, putting it in other words, literally, is sometimes helpful.
All right. So we're talking with Peter Sokolowski. He's the editor-at-large at Merriam-Webster. We're going through the year of 2012 and looking at some of the words that stood out. And we're asking you to call us with some of your words at 877-301-8970. And right now, I think Bob is going to bring a little bit of skepticism to the table here for us. You're in North Attleboro. Bob, how you doing? Welcome to Boston Public Radio.
Thank you. The word is whatever.
The word is, quote-unquote, whatever.
Whatever, which is basically a shorthand for dismissing or being skeptical of what someone says. Someone can make a very compelling logical argument, and the response is, well, I'm really not going to consider that, and so whatever.
So, Bob, I'm curious, why for 2012 is that the word that stands out for you? I mean, do you see this as you know, kind of a society at large kind of moving in this direction, or is there something specific about this year that makes it stand out?
The polarization of people's attitudes, you know, instead of trying to come together, there's a political and social polarization, and I'm not going to really listen to your opinion. I have mine formulated. You can say whatever you want, and my response is, yeah, whatever. And I think it's been building through the recent years, but it's reached a certain critical mass of momentum now that has become a catchphrase that represents a lot of people's attitude.
All right. Bob in North Attleboro, thanks for calling us.
Thank you.
You know what what I think he's bringing up there is that he really means that when you use whatever rhetorically like that, you're making an implicit rejection of a different perspective.
Yeah,
you're just saying, yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to learn from you. And that's sort of a powerful message to give to someone, because it sort of does end conversations, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what? I think, you know, he sort of mentioned the idea of political polarization. And certainly I think in your list of words, and we're running short on time here, Peter, but in your list of words, we definitely do see that 2012 was an election year. There's no question about that. And
right.
Maybe, short on time, so maybe take us right to the top of your list, because I think that will speak to it.
Sure, absolutely. The when we looked at these words most looked up, we saw two words that trended together, and together they added to being the number one word, and they were socialism and capitalism. So what you had are people who were looking up the one and then also referring to the other. And they, in a sense, were trying to answer the same question, which is, what is the difference? And these are words that were obviously used as labels during the campaign. They were used whenever healthcare was discussed. Mm-hmm. And this really did encapsulate this election year and the news of this year and the focus that we had on that election.
I think you also see a sort of that sense of the divisiveness between two camps, or moving toward polar different directions, you know, socialism and capitalism as being sort of the extreme left being socialism, the extreme right being like pure capitalism, and the moving toward those directions away from each other. You know what I mean?
I think that's it. You've got it. And partly, again, as with marriage, we're talking about definitions. And as you say, you know, neither of these are applied in their pure form in American politics at all. But when you look at the definition of socialism, governmental ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods, and it's a point of reference. It's a place to begin a conversation. And I think that's why people were looking it up. It's, I think, a great sign, again, for the culture, for the country, that people do turn to the dictionary, maybe to enlighten themselves in a private moment, or maybe to just continue enlighten a conversation.
And really quick, before I let you go, Peter, I just want to mention, this one also came from the political sphere, but I want to get a mention that malarkey also made your list. In 30 seconds, give me
sure.
Malarkey.
And malarkey, the most looked up word on a given day in the year, it spiked out of control. And it's such a great word. It was used, of course, by Vice President Biden during the vice presidential debate. And it's often associated with Irish Americans, so it sort of suited him perfectly.
Often used in my hometown of Frackville, Pennsylvania, which is heavily Irish immigrant settled. So I was happy to see malarkey enter the national conversation this year. Peter Sokolowski, editor-at-large at Merriam-Webster, thank you so much for being with us today on
thank
Boston
you.
Public Radio. And there's Callie Crossley back with us to end the show. Callie, take us home.
Thank you, Edgar. And thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. The conversation never stops online at wgbhnews.org. I'm Callie Crossley. Have a great afternoon.